morning, and welcome to Sports Interview with Ann Liguori on this Saturday morning. How are we doing this morning? Glad you can join me where I am every Saturday morning right here on WLIW 88.3 FM Southampton, serving Eastern Long Island and Southern Connecticut, 96.9 in Western Suffolk, and streaming at WLIW.org/radio and on your favorite streaming platforms. Each show is archived on my website at AnnLiguori.com and distributed on my podcast via Audioboom and iTunes. Well, oftentimes, listeners to this show and my podcast ask me where they should go for complete golf and vacation experience, meaning a luxury resort, excellent cuisine, a great spa, welcoming hospitality and service, and golf. Well, recently, I visited Half Moon Resort in Montego Bay, Jamaica, and I highly recommend this Salamander property for many reasons, as you will hear in this show. I visit with Kevin Cunningham, the director of golf at Half Moon, Keith Steen, the director of operations at Rose Hall, which features Cinnamon Hill Golf and White Witch Golf, and renowned golf instructor Michael Manavian, who visits Half Moon as a guest instructor. These conversations will provide you with a detailed description of what this beautiful resort property has to offer. Welcome back to Sports Interview with Ann Liguori, and it is my pleasure to say hello to Kevin Cunningham, Director of Golf here at Half Moon Resort in Montego Bay, Jamaica, an Englishman who's been here collectively for about 18 years, and good to talk to you, Kevin. Welcome to Sports Interview.
Hi, Ann. Thanks for having us on. It's been a great trip down here in Jamaica. I love it. It's a great place to live, beautiful resort, good solid golf, and wonderful people.
And the Half Moon Golf Course. Mm-hmm. I know it has a lot of history. Robert Trent Jones Sr., right, designed it in the early 60s. Talk a little bit about the golf course.
So it's 7,000 yards plus. It's a classic Trent Jones. Big greens, big bunkers, long tees. It's a beautiful bow tie design. He came down in the early 60s, as you said, and set it out. And in 2005, we had Roger Rulwich come in, and Roger used to work for Trent Jones. He brought down the original drawings, and we looked at it, and he made a couple of small adjustments. But he actually, I remember walking on the golf course with him, and he said, "Kevin, it's like a beautiful woman that just needs a little bit of lipstick." So it was fun watching. He didn't really adjust much. I changed 13 green, 9 green, 18 green a little bit and redesigned the bunkers around those. But basically, he said the bones are still solid, and they really are. If you play off the back tees here when the wind gets going, it's really tough. But it's also very playable for resort golfers.
Right. From the tips, it's over 7,000 yards, right, from the championship tees. And the forward tees are just over 5,000 yards. So anybody, any ability level, it can be accommodated for with the tee boxes.
Yeah, and it's you can play off anything, any tee you want, obviously. And it's tough to lose a ball out here, isn't it? You've played it a couple of times now. It's tough to really lose a ball. But what I've often said is that if you hit it in the rough, you won't lose it, but you'll probably have a palm tree in your way. So, it's one of those that you might have to try and risk a shot to get it out or chip it back onto the fairway. But it's a good resort course.
It's a first-class golf experience. Andrew greets you when you get off the shuttle. Janet's in the pro shop, very helpful. Caddy Master Michael got me organized. Petroy, my caddy, was exceptional. It really is a five-star service from start to finish.
Yeah, we have, like you just mentioned, I mean, a great team up there. I'm very lucky to be working with these guys. Our caddy program is really successful. We have probably about 35 on staff, and I would say the majority of them, well, they all play, that's for sure, but majority of them are probably single-figure golfers. So it's great for people that feel a little uncomfortable, they're not sure, going out on the golf course the first few times. You can take one of the caddies, like Tony or Bruce or Kevin, and they'll hold your hand and take you around the golf course and support you and maybe give you a few tips as well.
Absolutely. My caddy was giving me some tips, and he was so into it, really was saying birdie all the time. It wasn't par. He wanted me to birdie the hole, so he was really expecting a lot from me, Kevin.
Yeah,
Talk about how the course has evolved through the years. As I mentioned, it was Robert Trent Jones Sr. who designed it in 1962. It was refurbished. And, now, I mean, it gets a lot of play throughout the year.
Yeah, we do. We have quite a lot of play. We're taking down a few trees at the moment. Actually, this morning looking at them. We're taking down some trees on the back of the fourth green just to get some more sunlight and some more air on some of the remote areas of the golf course. But really, the bones of it have stayed the same. And we flipped the nines probably about 10 years ago. I might be wrong, but I think about 10 years ago. Just to make that long stretch from the bottom corner all the way up to the top, that's probably about 11 holes into the wind. And when it gets windy here, it's hard. And so we kind of broke that up a little bit, and that was a great idea. So the front nine now, we flipped it over. But the basic design of the golf course has stayed true to itself, and it's still so playable. I often have that discussion with the chairman of the board, Mr. Stewart, and he's an excellent golfer himself, a 2-3 handicap golfer. And we all say that even now with the equipment that we're using from the same tees, the bunkers are all perfectly placed, and we can't quite figure out what he was thinking, but he was thinking something correct, that's for sure.
I know that was the case for me off the forward tees. The bunkers were always in the way. So anyway, Kevin, talk about your guest pro instructor series, because I had the pleasure of taking lessons from Michael Manavian, known for his specialization with the Gear Golf system, which utilizes 3D motion capture software, and he spent hours with me. And it was just exceptional. So how did the visiting instructor series come about? And talk about who is all going to be here this year and next.
Right. So I've often thought it would be lovely to have a resort or somewhere where people can go in the winter to work on their game and have a choice of who I'm going to go and see. So each month I bring down, and I know all these guys. I used to teach with all these guys. Gary Gilchrist. I mean, Gary taught 4 major winners. 4 world number ones, excuse me. He has more than that majors. Brian Mogg was with TC Chen, I think, when he won the PGA. And Brian has, I think, 28 PGA Tour wins. I might be wrong, but I think it's more or less. David Ledbetter speaks for himself. I don't think you need to say anything about David. I mean, he's a legend. James Ridyard, who's still on the tour now, he's a short game instructor, works primarily with Justin Rose, Molinari, great short game instructor. So all these guys come down each month and do a great job, great job.
And you worked with David Ledbetter for, 30 years all over the world.
20 years. I worked for David for 20 years from the late, late 80s. So Vienna, just south of Vienna, and then Berlin, and then Colorado at Vail for a few years, and then Korea shortly, and Mexico, and then they asked me to come down here for 3 months, and that was 30 years ago. So that tells you all you need to know there, doesn't it?
Well, I'm sure. I mean, David comes here almost every year from what I remember, and just that service to offer golfers, you know, the incredible opportunity to train with these legendary instructors, that's such a bonus.
It's great, and I mean, David's no spring chicken anymore. I hope he doesn't hear this. He's no spring chicken, but I just can't get him to stop teaching. From the moment he turns up in the morning, and he'll just hang out in the pro shop, and people will go in, and they'll take a second look, and they say, "Are you David?" And he says, "Yep, yeah. How's your golf? What's going on?" And then, come on, let's go and have a quick look. It's amazing. He's just still has this passion for it, and a great teacher, really is. His lessons, about 90 minutes, and there's some great stories involved in that, you know. And he's very, very, very good at what he does still today. Still.
Oh, yeah, and as you mentioned, he has a passion for it, and he loves to talk. Ask him one question, leave the room. He's still going on. He's a great interview. But, really, really enjoyed. Mike, put all these wires on me for the 3D motion software, and seeing it, three-dimensional really explains a lot. And, now I just have to go out and practice what I learned. So
Mike's a great instructor. He works on the Champions Tour. I think he works with Alex Checker at the moment. And people look at that gear system, and I think there's 36 points on the bodysuit you wear, and then you make a golf swing, and it captures and turns that into an avatar that you can put on the And people look at that and they go, wow, that's technical. But it actually isn't. The setting up of it is quite technical, obviously. But that's, and then Michael analyze it for you and show you in such a way that you'll come out of that room with basically one swing thought. And that's all you need, one swing thought, which is what we're trying to do as instructors, isn't it? What's the least amount of information I can give that's going to have the most impact? Because you don't want to start deconstructing everybody's golf swings. You're going to, what's the one thing I can hit that's going to probably check a few boxes? Right. And he's very good at that.
Oh, absolutely. He knew my background was more tennis and other sports. Plus, you know, I wanted to get into a more of an inside-out swing. So he kept it simple. Yeah. With all that technology and all that data that he's very good at, you know, embracing, he keeps it simple, and I think that's the key in it, to instruction.
And then he sent a follow-up video for you for it. Yeah, right. Well, you can go home and have another look at it in case I forgot a word or two. So, yeah, he's very, very good at that. All the guys that come down throughout the season. And it's creating a bit of a noise down here in the Caribbean at the moment. I have heard at some of the trade shows that I go to, first thing that people do when they sit at the table, what's this golf instructor thing you're doing? So it's worked out quite well, yeah.
Yeah, very, very exciting. I just had the best afternoon. Talk about Jamaica as a golf destination, Kevin. There's a good variety of golf down here.
Yeah, there's on the north coast where we are, we have four courses. We have ourselves, Half Moon. We have Cinnamon Hill, which is right next door. We have the White Witch, which again is right next door. So you've got three courses there within probably a 4 or 5 mile radius. So if you're staying at Half Moon, which obviously might be biased when I say that, but it's probably the best place to stay. If you're staying at Half Moon, you have access to these golf courses within a 5 minute drive, you know, so it's not sitting in a shuttle bus. We are, what, 15 minutes from the airport. So you've got three courses there. And then on the other side of Montego Bay, we have Trial, which is another great course. And Ewan runs a great shop over there, does a great job. Really, really strong golf course. So you've got four very good golf courses. We had this conversation last week when we had the guys down, with the trip that you were involved with also. And I said one of the overlooked things is that what we don't promote enough, really, is that the courses are so different. And I think that's such a strength. I mean, Trent Jones is Trent Jones. I mean, you know what you're going to get. It's beautiful big greens, like I said earlier, and a classic layout. Cinnamon Hill goes down onto the ocean, doesn't it? Then it goes up into the hills. You've got the aqueduct there. You've got Johnny Cash's house there. You've got Live and Let Die, where they filmed it there. It says a lot of history on that golf course. And then you've got the White Witch, which is, you know, you stand on the first tee there and you go, wow, how did they do this? And it's an amazing design. Those three courses are so different. And then you go to the other side of Montego Bay and you've got Trial, which is a beautiful layout. Again, on the ocean, up in the hills. We're very fortunate. Yeah, great choice of golf here.
Definitely. And Golf Digest recently wrote that Jamaica golf deserves more attention, precisely for what you articulated, the fact that there's so much variety, so much history. And they're fun to play. And the Jamaican caddies are just so much fun to be with.
They're good fun. And the history of the White Witch was built on a sugar plantation. And the legend has it Annie Palmer at the Great House killed her husband back in the 17th century. I might be wrong, gosh. And she became known as the White Witch. That's why they named the golf course the White Witch. And we're playing a pro-am this week, and it's called Annie's Revenge. And then Cinnamon Hill, I mean, the aqueduct down there is amazing, isn't it? When you see on the side of the seventh hole, it's beautiful to see this the history of that golf course. We're very lucky. And it's when we go to these trade shows and the people talk to us about it, and they have they come down and they see what is, they're blown away. They're blown away because everything is here. The resort's fantastic. You mentioned the caddy program is great. We have good instructors here. We have solid golf courses, great food, and the best thing of all is the people. The people are just the greatest down here. It's so entertaining down here.
No, you're absolutely right. The welcoming and the hospitality from the Jamaican people is really right up there with the Irish, right?
Yeah,
in my opinion, for sure. The hotel, the resort property here at Half Moon, Jamaica. Your room is just seconds from the shoreline. It is really, in my opinion, probably one of the most beautiful shorelines of any resort I've ever been to anywhere in the world. It's right there. Yet it's very private. It's very luxurious. And here's something that I really love about this place, Kevin. It's not pretentious. It's luxurious, but it's you feel there's a lot of privacy and a, you know, it's just real friendly and not pretentious at all, which you don't get a lot with five-star resorts.
Well, barefoot elegance is a nice way to put it, isn't it? Yeah. So it's 400 acres. It's a big resort. It's 2 miles of beach. It's 8 food outlets, you know, some great restaurants, Del Mar, the Italian seafood, Sugar Mill, which is phenomenal, great steak there. So the options to eat here are great. The shoreline is, like you said, is fantastic. There's so much to do. The tennis courts, the pickle courts, the newly revamped fitness center. The Eclipse is open. We're renovating the villas now on the eastern side of the property. So there's a little something here for everybody. And this week when you've been here, Anne, I'm not too sure what the occupancy was, but even when the occupancy is quite high, because it's so spread out, you never get the sense that it's, you know, crazy busy. It's just really laid back, cool, and barefoot elegance.
You're absolutely right. The way the rooms are laid out, it's very private, and you have almost like your own private beach, right? You know, steps away from the back patio. The spa was incredible. Had the best massage. Seriously, it was so great. Facial. And the lap pool is longer, I think, than most Olympic-sized pools. So before golf, it's a great warm-up, low-impact swimming, and it's just a great warm-up for golf.
Just to get stretched out. Yeah, the lap pool's great, actually, isn't it? And the spa is an award-winning spa. They do a great job down there, those ladies. It has everything, doesn't it, really? And it's such a cool atmosphere in that spa as well. I like it. Very, very cool. And the fitness center, like I said, has just been reopened after a revamp there. The lap pool, like you said, is, am I wrong, it's 50 meters? I think it's 50. I really should know that, 50 meters. And then if you work out really, really hard, there's that little pool bar right next door to it. So you can just have a quick cold red stripe afterwards. So
you can work out the arm muscles as you drink the Jamaican rum.
Yeah, there you go, the Jamaican rum. That's the next story, isn't it? The Appletons and the Worthy Parks, some good rum.
So tell me about your background, Kevin. I mean, you're here just living the life. But you're from England, you played a lot of golf professionally, and how did you make that transition to your work here?
Well, I worked for Leadbetter. I'm originally from Bedford, just outside London. So I worked for David back in the late 80s, like I said, running some golf academies for us around the world. And the opportunity came up to set one up here in the winter time. It was at 97, I think. And I just came down to spend, and I just fell in love with the place. I just fell in love with it. Life's too short for long trousers, I always say. So we wear shorts here, and the weather is fantastic. The people are great, so we're very lucky. And the golf is good, so we get to play a lot of good golf with a lot of good golfers that come down. So I'm very fortunate, gosh, yeah. I've worked at some great resorts, but this is home now. I have a house that overlooks the property up on the hill. My wife is Jamaican. So, yeah, we've got all the boxes checked.
And you're here every day meeting and greeting people from all over the world. I mean, the people you must have met through the years.
Yeah, especially at this place, especially at Half Moon, we get a great variety of guests that come through. But it's not work, is it, really? Come on, I get to hang out with some nice people. We play some golf and we have a couple of cold red stripes at night. And it's wonderful. I'm very fortunate, very fortunate.
What's been your favorite? I mean, you meet so many people, but just give me a good story about a compelling foursome that you've played with through the years.
I did enjoy spending time with Roger Clemens when he was down here, the baseball pitcher, and I didn't know enough about baseball then, but he was great, lovely guy to work with, and we did a little bit of work on his golf swing. Warren Sapp, Doug Flutie, we were talking about this last night, actually, with the guys, some of the football players that come through. CEOs of companies that come in and professional golfers that come down here and play. We used to have the European Senior Tour here, the European Champions Tour, sorry. And so Manuel Pinero, now there's a name for the older guys out there listening. He came down, great guy, really beautiful to watch him play golf. And there were some very solid golfers that came and played then, yeah.
It is just sublime to wake up and see the beach here as you say, experience everything that Half Moon Resort has to offer. Go to the golf course, take a lesson, enjoy 18 with the caddies. I mean, life is good, Kevin Cunningham. This is pretty special.
Yeah, don't tell everybody, but yeah, it really is. I'm very lucky. We are very lucky down here. Anybody that gets to spend time at Half Moon is very fortunate, and to work here every day is a blast.
Thanks so much for joining me in a sports interview.
Thanks for having us.
Welcome back to Sports Interview with Ann Liguori, and it is my pleasure to say hello to Keith Steen, the Director of Operations here at Rose Hall in Montego Bay, Jamaica. Cinnamon Hill and White Witch are the two golf courses here, Keith. And first of all, it's a pleasure to be here. What a view from atop here at the clubhouse at White Witch, overlooking the beautiful Caribbean and the golf course. Spectacular. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. And yes, the view is amazing. We are about 600 feet above sea level. We have, on the White Witch course, we've got 16 holes that you have a direct ocean view. A couple holes on the back nine that get tucked back in. But yeah, it's fabulous up here. Beautiful.
White Witch was built in 2000. You were talking about the fact that it was part of the Shaw's Wonderful World of Golf. What are your memories of that?
Now, that was terrific. So that was back on August 25th, year 2000. We had Vijay Singh and Hal Sutton come down here, and that whole crew from Shell's Wonderful World Golf, ABC, you know, Wild World of Sports, all those guys, Mr. Whitaker and all that. Yeah, it was great. It was a good experience.
You know, there's two golf courses that you can play here, plus you have Half Moon, plus you have Trial, right? So golf here in Jamaica, and especially in Montego Bay, there are a lot of options, a lot of variety.
Which we talk about that a lot. There's four courses within a half an hour east or west of the Montego Bay Airport. And really all four of them are very unique. And at, like I say, White Witch is 600 feet above sea level. The Cinnamon Hill Golf Course is right on the water. There's two holes that play right along the ocean. Half Moon is more of a parkland, inland kind of golf course. And then Half Moon also, was designed back in the 40s, kind of that romantic era architecture. And it has a couple holes on the ocean as well. It's a lovely golf course. So, yeah, there's the diversity and the difference in the golf courses here. It's terrific.
There's a lot of historical significance here, Keith. Talk a little bit about what people can expect when they come and visit.
Yeah, that's what's unique about this. We have on our courses here, the Rose Hall courses, we have two great houses. Most of these courses used to be sugarcane plantations back in the 16th, 17th, 18th century. So we have aqueducts, we have cemeteries, and we have great houses and all kinds of stuff that are related to that that time of when the West Indies was known for big sugar.
And the great house was built back in 1747. It's still on the property.
Yes, it was started construction. What we have, the information we have, is the construction started in the late 1740s, 50s. It was completed by 1770. Well before the United States got independence from England. This was a functioning, full-on house and people living here, and it was a farm and all that stuff, yeah.
And Johnny Cash. I always remember playing the golf course and pointing out to whoever I was playing with, that's Johnny Cash's house. Talk a little bit about where it is and who owns it today.
Yeah, that's a very interesting story. So our owner, who developed this property, came here in 1958. His name was John Rollins. And he fell in love with the property, and he ended up purchasing about 26,000 acres. And on the golf course was the two great houses, and one of them was the Cinnamon Hill Great House. And he grew up in Tennessee, just a few miles from Johnny Cash, and they were childhood friends. So Mr. Cash bought the property, the Cinnamon Hill Great House, from Mr. Rollins in about 1964, right in there, and he lived there until he passed away. He wrote a lot of his albums and records there. And when he was tired of touring, he would come to Jamaica and hang out in his little house over there and loved it. He was a really nice man. He would come around to the golf courses all the time and just putter around. He loved watching people play golf, and he would sip on Coca-Cola, and he was a real character. I met him several times, and he was a nice man to chat to and just talk about things. When Johnny passed away, the family ran it for a couple of years, and I'm not exactly sure who Roseanne, I think, is maybe the next in line. But the family sold it back to the Rollins family, and it took us a couple of years to get the licensing to run it as a tour, and we have that in place now. And so we have tours at the Rose Hall Great House and the Cinnamon Hill Great House, and all of Johnny Cash's he left his stuff. It's all still there. It's untouched.
So fascinating. Getting back to the White Witch course, named after a legendary Annie Palmer, and there's all this myth about this area being haunted. What's that all about, Keith?
That's I can see that. I personally, at nighttime, this whole entire property takes on this. It's a different aura. It's kind of, and I will say it. I admit to it. It's kind of spooky here at night. So is it haunted? I don't know. I'd leave that up to you. But after twilight, there is a little feeling that something was happening here.
Well, as I was reading about this legend, it holds that Rose Hall is haunted by this white witch, Annie Palmer. She practiced dark magic, made male slaves lovers, and then killed them. And then one of the slaves apparently murdered her, and her guest rooms around Rose Hall are haunted.
That is on record, so there may be some folks out there that are married that probably would maybe agree with her, so, me being maybe one of them. But yeah, that's true. She was tough on husbands. But yeah, this is, in the evenings, you could almost picture her out there riding around on her horse and just creating havoc.
Talk about your background, Keith. What's your background in golf and your... obviously a connection to Jamaica's. You must love it here. You've been here for a while.
So way back when, I'm from Toronto, Ontario, just outside of Toronto, and my dad had sold his bakery way back in the late early 70s, and he bought a golf course. So I grew up on a golf course, and he'd sold the first one, and he'd bought a second one, and by that time I'd moved to Toronto to go to university, and then I moved to Australia, and I hung out there for a while, and I went there to caddy on the ANZ tour way back when, and then moved back here, and then 90s, I was offered a job in England, and I turned it down, and then kind of had a remorseful feeling after that, and this position came up in Jamaica, and my plan was to spend 2 years and then go to Asia like a lot of my friends were doing, and I've never left, so I've been here since in Jamaica since 1992, and I got married in 99. We have three lovely children, and I don't really have any plans to depart anytime soon.
That's a great story. Everybody who comes here seems to just love it. I know Kevin Cunningham, who's the director of golf over at Half Moon, was saying the same thing. I mean, he's just loving life right here in Jamaica. Talk about the experience here for golfers, whether they come from Canada or the States or Europe. What can they expect here? Why is Jamaican golf so special?
That's a great question. A lot of folks love this country. The caddy program, we have a lot of really interesting, fun caddies that make your day enjoyable. But really, it's the people of Jamaica that are wonderful. All your interactions are very, very pleasant. A lot of Jamaicans are very, very funny. I find their sense of humor is just really, really unique and unique to the island. And maybe living here, you can understand it a little bit more. It's quite clever. And then, like Anne, as she opened up, the views here are just stunning. You know, you look at the ocean views to the north, and then the mountain views to the south, and then the hillsides are all covered with greenery and trees and stuff like that. It is just as I can't even describe it. You'd have to come and check it out. The views, it's just beautiful. It's a beautiful place to be.
And the resorts offer, just incredible shoreline. The beach is just stunning, no matter where you're staying right here in Montego Bay. And you have the spas, you have the culinary. I was very impressed with the food, Keith. I mean, we had some incredible meals at Half Moon.
We just did a fam trip with some tour operators that sell golf, and we spent the last 3 days at Half Moon. Stunning. Absolutely stunning property. It is beautiful. And yeah, the food was terrific.
The Italian food, restaurant, then the the sugar mill, that's a whole historic thing in itself. And here, as you were talking about the historic ruins on the course, the aqueduct that brought water in during the 18th century, that you know, the stone walls, the grave sites, the monuments. I mean, there's just so much to take in. It's more than a golf experience, really. If you enjoy, as you say, the panoramic views of the Caribbean, if you enjoy the caddy friendliness, the hospitality, if you enjoy the whole experience, great instruction, right? It's just been very, very special. It's a special trip. I think the people make it even more so. The hospitality and the welcome you get here is second to none.
Yeah, one of the other thing is the movie, the James Bond franchise, Live and Let Die, probably a good quarter or half of that movie was filmed right on our property. The cemetery scene and the where they blow up the poppy field and all that, that's just right around the corner. And they filmed some of that. Dr. No was filmed down in the Half Moon Hotel. So a lot of history here. A lot of things have happened in Jamaica over the years.
If you're a Bond fan, you can definitely, you'll notice, definite locales that you see in the many James Bond movies. What is going on? I know you have the Annie's Revenge tournament going on. They do that every year. Talk a little bit about some of the special events that you're hosting this week and in the future.
Yeah, so the Annie's Revenge is named after Annie Palmer. You know, so there's a little bit of action there, which she's revenging all of us. But, so we invite, it's hosted by us and the Jamaica Tourist Board. We invite teams. It's a pro-am, pros from golf courses in Canada and the United States. And we come down, we play all three courses, the White Witch, the Cinnamon Hill, and Half Moon through the week. A Beer Star is our host hotel for the week, and everybody's piled in there. So we're in the process right now of getting everybody together and hosting that. Starts on Thursday. It's 54 holes. And I think this is going to be the 15th or 16th playing of the event. It's very popular and well-received. It's a good event. And the hospitality is as much Red Stripe as you possibly can consume. It's quite something. Sponsored by Red Stripe, so we love our Red Stripe and our Appleton rum. I'm not lying to you. It's everywhere. So, come on down. Check it out.
Red Stripe, they drink it like water here. All the people that come from all over to play in Annie's Revenge. Well, you must have played with some incredible personalities through the years. Can you give me a good story about maybe a foursome you've played with that's been kind of different, either a Hollywood star or a professional golfer? Who would you say? Tell me a story about a memorable foursome.
Well, we did host the celebrity tournament here back. We were the only event outside of the United States. So we did have that there. So all those guys were Roger Clemens and all those guys, Terry Bradshaw, they were here. But one fellow that we played golf with, he just showed up one day, Boston hockey player, Ray Bourque. Ray Bourque, not only is he like built like a truck, but that man can play golf. And I will say this, I only met Mr. Bourque once and we played 18 holes together, but he can drink a lot of Red Stripe. He's good at that too. Oh my gosh. He's a +4 handicap with the Red Stripe. He's good. I enjoy my day with him.
Hockey players and, you know, those baseball players are great golfers, right? And they know how to party as well. Keith, you're the ultimate host. Thank you so much for welcoming me this week down here in Montego Bay, and all the best to you. Continued success.
Thank you, Ann. Thank you for coming.
Welcome back to Sports Interview with Ann Liguori. We are at Half Moon Jamaica in Montego Bay, and it is my pleasure to welcome in Michael Manavian, golf instructor extraordinaire, an authorized instructor with Stack and Tilt for 13 years. Michael, I thoroughly enjoyed my lesson the other day. Just, you gave me a lot of food for thought, kept it simple enough for me to understand and go and practice. But what a system. Anyway, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Anne. I appreciate you having me today.
Talk about Stack and Tilt. What is it and who utilizes it?
Sure. It's a way to play golf based on a three-dimensional description of the swing. So what does that mean? We utilize anatomy, physiology, as well as physics to develop how and when a golfer should hit a golf ball based on three fundamental tasks: controlling your low point, hitting it far enough to play the course, and having a predictable curve. So most club golfers, amateur golfers, struggle with the first two fundamentals of golf. If they can't hit the ball solid, and they can't control hit it far enough to play the golf course. If anybody out there struggles with hitting fairway woods into par fours from the tees you're playing, you're obviously not hitting it far enough to be able to score and enjoy the game. I also work with tour players who have, you know, can pass the first two fundamentals every single day. It's the third fundamental they really have problems with, being able to have a predictable curve. So my players on the Champions Tour need to know when they set up to a ball, what the winds come from left to right, there's water on the right, where they're going to start the ball, which way it's going to curve, so that they can execute their shots throughout the round.
And so you use this 3D motion capture software, correct? And talk a little bit about that. How do you hook a golfer up to it? And the benefits of a golfer seeing herself or himself in three dimension.
Yeah, it's really exciting. So I'm an owner of one of the Gears golf systems. It's a 3D motion capture system, just like the movie Avatar, where they put all the infrared dots on your body. Golf instructors over the years have gone from their visual, their eye, to camera systems, better camera systems. And now with Gears, we have eight cameras shooting at 360 frames per second, 500 capture frames per shot. And from there, we'll be able to measure every single joint in your golf swing. We can measure the golf club to a hundredth of a millimeter, hundredth of a degree. So there's no guessing on where the change is coming from. When I implement a change, we can now lay over, like you experienced, how many degrees your trail knee is changing flex, how many degrees your left wrist is articulating. So it really provides me as an instructor an MRI type of machine to make sure that I'm not guessing on my students.
But for the average amateur, it's not overly complicated. It helps you perhaps tell them what needs to change.
What I like to say is that it allows me to tell the story faster. Instead of drawing like traditional tools on an iPad or a computer where you have to manually draw the lines, I can just click a button and I have the accurate data, and then I can overlay it. So if you went to the doctor and you wanted an x-ray, an MRI would probably be better imaging for you. But again, it's up to the radiologist to interpret the data that's being put forward. So as an instructor, the machine's going to measure it. It's not going to tell us anything. But the way I use it is going to now be able to make the changes and then note the change. So how many more degrees of extension, how many more degrees of flexion are you getting per each joint? Where's the golf club? We can overlay it and you can see the differences.
So how long is this 3D, you know, capturing of motion been around in golf, and how long has this system been that you've been using?
Sure. Michael Neff originated, really one of the pioneers of the industry. He's the owner of Gears, and it came out early on with the TaylorMade mat system. That kind of got outdated with the software being on Linux, and then he took over the company, really pushed it forward in the late 2000s, early 2010s. And from that point on, most companies, there were a couple of researchers that had previous type of machines. I know Golf Tech uses a 3D motion capture device. It's been the gold standard of motion capture, and then the gold standard of kinematic measuring of any sport athlete. But it's gone from little stick figures to nice avatars that are a little bit easier, which you pointed out how much nicer the avatar is, and you're not having to look at yourself on camera. So you actually can remove yourself from the situation and just look at the joint-by-joint data throughout the swing.
How many of the professionals use it, Michael?
Well, that's an interesting concept there, because or conversation point, because professionals are pretty good at playing golf. They just need a little tweak here and there. They can benefit a lot from it, but it's really the club golfer, the higher handicap, trying to learn the fundamental tasks of being able to control the low point, hit it far enough, and that overlay just allows the learning process to be faster, because I'm not wasting time as a coach showing them the before and after. I can click a button, and in a second, I'm overlaying. See, Mrs. Jones, your right elbow's 10 more degrees flex than it was before.
Right. So the pros that you coach on the PGA Champions Tour, per se, don't get fitted up for the three-dimensional software, or do they?
It's a split bag. A lot of them want to do it. All of them have wanted to do it. It's just getting them away from a tournament course that has the ability. Up in Pebble, we were able to put a couple of players on the machine and look at their putting, actually. Alex Chaka is one of my guys on the Champions Tour. Dickie Pride was another. We got them up at our friend Aaron Olson's The Lab in Monterey, off-site facility, which is awesome, by the way, if anybody's in Monterey, for this week for the TaylorMade Invitational. But they were able to get on and compare putter versus putter. They were able to look at a few wedges, see the dynamic loft on it, a little bit more in-depth than your traditional launch monitor, because the only device that actually measures the club, the face, the shaft, the grip, and the body in the same swing. So most launch monitors just will measure what the ball does, or you can put some fiducials on the head and you can measure what the club head does. This optical tracking combines everything. It's the only one that can measure the shaft in 3D, which is where most of my club fitting is. So we can really get into the nuance of finding the right shaft for you by measuring the shaft, which is a novel concept. Everybody measures the ball and tries to reverse engineer what the shaft must have been for you. We can actually give you the shaft participation in the dynamic loft equation. As a tech geek, I really enjoy this conversation.
Were you a mathematic major in college?
I did win the physics bowl, the national physics bowl in 12th grade. Mr. Novak would be very proud 30 years ago.
You're an instructor with some of the guys on the PGA Champions Tour whom you've mentioned. What's it like being an instructor for these players over 50?
I pinch myself every day I'm out there. I mean, that credential that hangs around my neck, I don't ever want to lose that thing. I've waited 30 years to get out there. It's been the greatest thing ever. To be in the ropes and having Hall of Famers and champion golfers, you know, coming up to you and asking you, hey, you got a minute? I got a question for you. And the beauty about being an authorized stack and tilt instructor, and any one of us, I mean, we've got over 800 stack and tilt instructors around the world now. You ask them a question, you're going to get an answer. We're not going to punt and say, oh, today's only, I know number one coach in the world has once said to his player, oh, today's only Wednesday. You're a Thursday through Sunday player. Don't worry about your swing today. And, you know, he goes on to miss the cut. When somebody asks me a question, I have to give an answer. So I will hit them right between the eyes with the answer so that they understand it and can demonstrate, most importantly. So, being out there week to week, it's a lot of fun for those guys. It's a little bit more low-key than the regular tour where you've got no cut, and you know, they're still very, very competitive. They're still trying to beat the oldest guy in the field with Bernhard Langer doing so well. But it's a lot of fun because I'm getting to see my idols out there on a week-to-week basis, so it's pretty cool.
Well, so you're so close to all these guys. You're coaching some of them. Bernhard Langer, you mentioned, 67 years young. What do you think the key to his longevity and success is, if you had to pinpoint it?
He outworks a lot of people. I see that still today. He has the third fundamental of being able to control his predictability of his ball flight. He outthinks everybody better. I remember vividly when he won the U.S. Open, we were playing, I think it was the 14th or 15th hole, the par 5, longest par 5 on the course, and there was a lake out there 250 yards on the right, and he just hit a 3-wood off the tee. Alex looked at me, and he kind of looked at his head. I mean, it's a long par 5. You want to hit driver, push it down as far as you could. And Alex took a 3-hybrid, hit it right at the lake, couldn't reach it, hit a 3-wood right at the lake, got it in, and realized that week we're going to hit hybrid off that tee because it's going to be a 3-shot hole because the penalty for being in the rough was so severe that we want to make sure we put it in play all week. We played that hole one under par. Bernhard hit it in the middle of the fairway. He out-strategized everybody. He was the only player who took driver out of the bag, yet he was the one who hit the shortest off the tee and hit the most greens in regulation. And he should have won by 4, but he kind of, dragged it in a little bit coming down the stretch. But he had command of the tournament for 72 holes. It wasn't even a question of who was going to win that event. So to me, he outthinks everybody better. Now, I'm not in the ropes with him, but I get to hang out with him a little bit. And his caddy, Terry Holt, who is, the hardest working caddy on tour, he's out there Sunday, Monday, week before, charting the greens, rolling golf balls, making sure that Bernhard knows he and Bernhard know the breaks of every putt. And Terry is really a superstar. So he's a Hall of Fame caddy to go with a Hall of Fame player.
You have to have just an incredible hunger and passion to continue doing what he and these other guys are doing, because the training, the travel, the fitness, everything that goes into being the best you can be as a professional, and so much of it is, you just have to have it. You're born with it, right?
People really see the Sunday afternoon half hour back nine. They don't see the travel. They don't see the day-to-day grind, and it is a grind. I've been in airports where I'm going through a global entry and Bernhard can't, just talk about that. I mean, every week he's traveling. The grind of travel can get to you, the learning of golf courses, the files that these players have. Tom Pernice Jr., I remember we got together at Raleigh, and he pulled out a Ziploc bag of, I think, 15 tournaments rounds of yardage books of that same golf course. So he was going through the notes, and he knows exactly what club he hit on everyone. So the preparation, if anything I want to pass on to the younger kids, is the preparation that these legends have done without technology, with paper and pencil, with, you know, back in the day they didn't have lasers. They had the roller wheel. You know, Fanny Sunderson used to, you know, walk down the roller wheel. So these guys really knew where their golf ball's going. And that's really the key to their longevity, being able to have a predictable curve, because every single one of these guys can hit the par fives and three, hit the par fours and two, and hit the par threes and one. It's how close can you get to the hole? And they can all putt. So, it, you know, so if we can get it closer, our odds are going to be in our favor.
Right. So it's not just the physical drain, but just it must be just exhausting mentally to prepare like that. The notes, the homework, you know, the strategy, the course management. There's just, it must be just mentally exhausting.
Well, these guys are experts in their field for a reason. Golf is hard, and these guys are the best of the best and have been for 25, 30 years. So seeing them here on the Champions Tour, it really is an exercise in stamina, in longevity, and not going with the latest fad. So they have a predictable curve. They don't want to hit it 5 yards further. They just want to make sure that they know where the ball's going to plot their way around 54 holes, 72 holes for major championships, plot around the golf course so that they can get the most looks at birdie. Because it's really not a birdie fest tour as much as it is an anti-double bogey tour. You're going to make bogeys. Don't make doubles. So if you can play a doubles-free offense, which is kind of a crazy way to say it, but if you can not make double bogeys and keep your, you know, birdies high, putt well, you're going to be up on the leaderboard every Sunday.
Sounds like my strategy.
No doubles.
I don't know about the birdies, but let's just forget about the doubles and the triples. Mike, you're an observer. You hang out with these senior pros a lot. What's the word about Tiger possibly playing some of these senior majors? What are they thinking? What are they saying? Anything?
Well, he's turning 50 soon, so they're getting ready, and you would think that they would ask him, what would you like? And, you know, Tiger's answer usually is just keep doing what you're doing. Don't change anything for me. He's that humble of a guy. You know, he is. He doesn't want things changed for him. But people are excited because kind of like right now we're like 1995 all over again, waiting for 96 and 97 that happened on the PGA Tour to happen to us on the Champions Tour. Increase in purses, increases in visibility, increase in sponsorship. So, you know, the rising tide effect of Tiger Woods made everybody very wealthy on the tour. And hopefully he can stay healthy enough to ride around in a cart, zip it around, play a few tournaments a year, raise the profile, raise the purses, and it'll be a win-win for everybody.
Do you think he'll really want to ride in a cart? I mean, physically he probably has to, but I don't know, it's so against everything that I think he's, you know, he stands for and he has done throughout his career.
I think Tiger Woods is a professional rule follower, and if those are the rules, he's going to follow the rules. So if he gets the opportunity to sit in a cart, his butt's going to be in a cart zipping around. Absolutely he will. But I don't know Tiger, but that's just from an outside observer. I think he would be happy to zip around in a cart and you know, needle these guys and try to beat Bernhard. Can you imagine a 69? Bernhard will be 69, Tiger will be 50, and he has to beat Bernhard.
It will be the tour to watch for sure. You're very knowledgeable about fitness and nutrition on top of, you know, the physics and the technology focus that you have on golf instruction. What do you think an amateur golfer should be aware of, should be doing to be the best version of him or herself?
So if I said don't get drunk the night before and eat a good breakfast as a baseline, I think that would be good. But I just ruined everybody's trip to Jamaica or to anywhere else in the world. Make sure you're fed. Make sure you're rested. Make sure that you work with a coach and you understand how to supervise your practice with stations that help you guide the path of the golf club, either in a blocking practice or a avoidance practice. So, like, you can block your people's motion, or you can have a desire to do something. So, for example, if I put a stick outside your right ear, I don't want you to go into that stick. And if I ask you to put the stick outside your left ear, I can ask you to go over it. So in that sense of having a practice where you're confining the structure and you can only do a few things, I know you experienced this when I put a shaft on your trail shoulder, asking you to swing under the plane versus over the plane. Basic things like that where you can structure your practice in your station, have a station, have a guide map, have a grid set up so that you can actually have it in your head where to finish the swing. So all of us have a GPS on our phones, and you know, the destination is what guides us. So knowing where you have to finish in the follow through will help the journey of the entire swing from the start. Oh, I have to finish with my left arm holding an umbrella. Fantastic. Well, I got to move my arms orbiting around my chest in order to do that. I can't just keep them pinned to my trail side. Things like that.
Talk about your background. How did you get into golf? I know you're a multi-sport guy from years before outside of Boston where you grew up. How'd you get into all this?
My family moved from one end of Watertown, Mass. To the middle of Watertown, Mass. And there was a golf course there, Oakley Country Club, which was Donald Ross's very first course in America. The Tufts family hired him to do Pinehurst in the winter and Oakley in the summer. And from there, I learned how to caddy and, you know, was fortunate enough to win the Francis Wiemet Scholarship Fund. And that got me to Methodist University, where I was a proud monarch there for 3.5 years and finished early and got teaching immediately. So I was always passionate about teaching golf and want to play a little bit more. But really, the teaching is what set me in my profession of being able to observe what I see, make a recommendation, and, you know, monitor the results.
You're living the life. Is this exactly what you've always wanted to do?
Pretty close. I'd rather be, you know, let's not lie. Everybody would rather be playing for a living, but I'm doing everything but that. I'm doing the traveling. I'm doing the hotels, the airports, the rental cars. So it's a lot of travel, but it's a lot of fun to be inside the ropes with these guys every week.
And talk about your experience here at Half Moon Jamaica. Kevin Cunningham, the director of golf at the golf course here at Half Moon, invites guest instructors like yourself to come down every year. What do you love about this island and the golf here?
Yeah, Kevin's the real rock star here. He had a vision a few years ago to bring a different guest instructor to Half Moon for their guests and their membership here. David Ledbetter, Nick Starchuk, and Gary Gilchrist, and a whole crew of instructors each month to kind of diversify the teaching and promote the club a little bit. But Half Moon is a world-class resort here just in Montego Bay, and the villas are unbelievable. The food is amazing. The people really what set it apart, the hospitality. It's a must travel for people who want a Caribbean vacation and just such a exclusive, beautiful environment. I mean, how beautiful was the ocean this morning? Walking here, it's just, you know, right outside our window here. But Kevin's really the rock star here. He's asked me to come every year and bring my gear system in, which isn't easy, but he's got an indoor studio. We can do the indoor instruction, go right outside onto the driving range and hit balls there. Half Moon, Jamaica, it's just unbelievable here.
It just has so much to offer. As you say, just walking from the room, just seconds to the beach, it's just sublime. The scenic beauty and, as you say, the hospitality of the people here, the spa, the culinary, the swimming, the lap pool, the fitness, the tennis. I could go on and on and on. But, Mike, I so enjoyed our time together. The lesson was just incredible and continued success. I hope to meet up with you again and impress you with my new swing.
You will. There's no doubt, Ann. I appreciate everything you do for the golf industry as well. Thank you so much.
Thanks for being on Sports Interview. My thanks to Kevin Cunningham, to Keith Steen, to Michael Manavian, and to Mike Goodsell in production. As explorer scholar Ibn Battuta once said, traveling, it leaves you speechless, then turns you into a storyteller. Have a great week. Look forward to visiting with you next time right here on Sports Interview with Ann Liguori.